And thank you, Anna and Elizabeth. Elizabeth wrote that song, by the way. Yeah. It's beautiful. My back is to the fire, so, you know, if things get out of control, y'all let me know. He burned that sermon up. Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament. If you ever have a trivia kit, that Hebrews is in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, and we're going to read the first six verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. No, lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of you know that I was gone last week because I was attending the funeral of a friend of mine, Patty Winter. Patty was in our continuing education group that meets once a year, and we actually used to do really education as part of that. Now, the con ed is mostly con and not so much ed. I really try, but they don't really want to do anything anymore. So we just meet and eat and talk, among other things. And but Patty was one of those. So I've known her a very long time and know, you know, it's something about when somebody dies that you not only knew, but really shared a lot of laughs with. She was a funny, funny person. She was hilarious. And but more than that, her life was a life that was, she was a youth minister in a church in Birmingham for 30 years, and then 10 more at another church. And she was just one of those people that loved kids, loved teenagers, loved young adults, and they loved her back. And she would get mad at them, and they would play pranks on her. But, you know, they all loved her. So at her memorial service, she died on October 9th, but her memorial service was last weekend. Thousands of people came. And their sanctuary was totally full, and then they had their fellowship hall totally full, where they had closed-circuit television. Plus, they were streaming it online. And the stories that they told, we all went to a restaurant afterwards and listened to the stories. And a lot of these kids that I knew when I was doing this stuff back in the 90s, I guess it was, you know, they were 15 there. Then they're 45 now. And they have their own kids. But they just told stories and stories and stories and stories about Patty. And with a lot of laughter. And I began to think about what an impact her life had. You know, and it was not like, you know, mega church TV preacher glamorous. You know, she was a director of Christian education in a little office, and she taught middle school, Sunday school. And yet, the impact she had on kids, huge kids, is amazing. And people flew in from everything. I ran into a guy at TSA in Birmingham Airport on the way back who had flown to the funeral from Indianapolis. And I thought, wow. So one of my candles I lit for Patty. And the other was for my friend Jack Becker, Jack was on the search committee that brought me to my first church out of seminary. And was such an example to me of a businessman who could also be a Christian, who used everything at his disposal to live his faith in his church, in his business, with all kinds of people. And his life deeply affected mine. And so I know you've got them too. And I want us to kind of think about that, because they are now part of the witnesses that this scripture talks about. And I think it's important for us to realize what that means. I think of, you ever go to see like a soccer game for your kid or your grandchildren or anything like this? I've noticed that this is the first year I've gone as a grandfather. It's always been, I've been the dad, and I realize we all kind of went up a notch that about a month ago, then now I'm the granddad, and my kids are the parents. When you walk out there and they see you, they try harder. They just, oh, he's here, and they run harder, and they try to steal the ball, And it's because they have a witness. They have somebody watching. And so the writer of Hebrews, by the way, nobody knows who it was. It wasn't Paul. Nobody knows who the writer of Hebrews was. But the writer of Hebrews, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, basically, is what he's saying. And so I just want to unpack that with us, because we are still here. And according to this scripture, they are watching. And it's not like, you always hear these athletes, whose dad died, scores a touchdown. Oh, my dad was looking down on me today. Maybe he was, but this isn't that. This is a cloud of witnesses who are wanting us, cheering us on, wanting us to do the work of God that they did. Patty Winter, Jack Becker finished the course. They actually ran the race, finished the course. Blessed are you. Enter into your rest, servant of God. And we are those people now. And I think it will help you. I think it will help you a lot in your walk, in your, if you want to call it race, to try to follow Christ. So let's start with the first word, therefore. Always pay attention when it says therefore. Because it's the therefore is about, is there's something that has come before that. And it's now in our Bible, says chapter 11, where it starts out, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And it says, by faith, and it goes right through the Old Testament. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Moses did this. It's by faith. And so just starting with that thing that it's the evidence of things unseen, that bothers me. I want to see stuff. I don't want it to be something I can't see. I want to see it. But the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. There is stuff we can't see that's real. There's stuff going through this sanctuary right now. There's radio waves going through the sanctuary. We don't know it. We don't feel it. We don't see it. It's going through here. But the therefore is like, because all these people of faith, they ran the race and they finished the course. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and here's the sense that it's kind of like grandchildren knowing their grandpa's watching them play soccer. They're looking at us, Mom. They're looking at us. Those folks, these people whose candles we lit, they are interested in what we are doing to complete the mission that God has given us. Since that's true, he says, since we're surrounded by witnesses who are witnessing what we're doing, let us do a couple of things. And here they go. First, it says, let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. And you kind of go, sure, I know. We're not supposed to sin. We know that. We know. But we still sin. We still sin. And the amazing thing to me is how much of our volition is involved in this, of us laying aside the sin, which it says so easily besets us, that you can walk into sin and just all of a sudden you're sinning. And you're like, oh, man, that was quick, you know. And you know what the sins are, and I don't know what your particular one is, but, you know, we kind of all know what they are. We just fall into it. We are envious. We lie. You know, we steal. We do all kinds of stuff. And it's the scripture is saying, lay that aside if you want to be running this race. Lay it aside. And here's the other thing. It does more than just laying aside the sin. It says, let us also lay aside every weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight and sin. So it doesn't even have to be a sin to get in the way of our race, of our walk. It doesn't have to be a sin. It can just be something that slows us down. You know, I'm getting up too late in the morning. That's not a sin, but it may be that you should get up earlier. There's weights that aren't sins that slow down your race. You know, and that really does mean that we have to examine our lives, okay? We have to examine our lives and see, maybe we're okay on the sin department, but the weight department, we need to do a little thinking about. Let us lay those aside, every weight and sin that clings so closely. You know, and you think about a race. If you're on a cross country team, you know, they're running through terrain. What if you're in this cross country race and you just sort of miss the turn, you know, and you just, you know, run into the woods? You know, that's the sin. That's the weight. You're not on the race. It keeps you from being on the race. That's what these things do to us. And this is where it really starts to get personal. It says, run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Perseverance. It means it doesn't happen very fast. It takes a long time. You have to persevere. And I was talking to a few friends this week, and we're talking about that song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you think about how true that is. That's a quote in the Psalms. Your word, God, is a lamp unto my feet. And that means you can see every little rock, every little root that could trip you up. You can see that next step. But the light unto my path, way up there, you can't see the roots and all that stuff. You can't see hardly anything. You can kind of generally see where the path's going, but you don't get to see everything. And that can really bug you. It can really, you know, because we want to see it all. But faith is the evidence of things not seen, and that's where this starts. It's the substance of things hoped for, not seen. And so run with perseverance means you keep at it because it's a long race and you will stumble and fall. Now, here's the part this can drive you crazy. It depends on your personality, but it can really drive you crazy if you're kind of a perfectionist. We don't want to stumble and fall, you know? We want to be good all the way through. As soon as we start, we want it to be good and we want to be perfect. And yet, you're a sinner. You are a sinner. And you, in your walk with God, you're not going to do a clean arc all the way. You're going to take two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and one step back. And that is normal. That is absolutely the Christian walk. Two steps forward and one step back. It's better than two steps backward and one step forward. Two steps forward and one step. You're still making progress, but you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have times where you go back and the voice of whatever you want to call the tempter will say, you haven't changed. You're the same old sinner you always were. You know, trying to discourage you. And this whole passage, if you look at this passage,
It's all about persevering. It's all about not giving up. And if verse 3 says, consider him who endures such hostility so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Again, it's about not losing heart, not losing your faith, even though you're two steps forward and one step back, even though you can't see it all the way, even though you're still a sinner trying to do this, and that voice keeps telling you, you're nothing, but you are. You're a child of God. And that's what this is calling you to do. And then there is the race that is set before us. That means God's done something there. God has set a race for you. And wherever you are in your life, however old you are, God has a race for you. Whatever has happened, however many people you've lost in your life, God still has a race set before you. God has set that race, and your race is not the same as my race. You have a different race than I do. You know the thing I say, I say it too much. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and that is so true. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life right now. All the past is prologue. Starting now, this day, this hour, God has a plan for your life. And that is the race that is set before you. And the reason that's true is there is nobody like you. There's nobody with your particular set of gifts and experiences and genetics, your talents, your gifts. Nobody's like you. And God has stuff just for you that you're going to be perfect for. But God's not going to make you do it. You've got to choose to do it. And if you do not choose to do it, God will find somebody else to do that work. But it won't be as good as if it were you because of your combination of gifts, your sets of experiences. God wants you to run that race with perseverance, laying aside every weight and sin, even though it's not, you can't see it all. It's the evidence of things not seen. I've read this before. By the time, you know, I'm getting to almost to the end of my fifth year here. You believe this? You've heard everything I got to say. you heard this illustration before. This is Henry Nouwen on being a wounded healer. A lot of times we think that the things that have happened to us in our lives, the wounds we have, disqualify us from serving Christ because we've been so abused or so hurt. We've had so many challenges. And what Henry Nouwen says this is that a Christian is called to be the wounded healer, the one who must look after his own wounds, but at the same time, be prepared to heal the wounds of others. He is both the wounded and the healing Christian. Like Jesus, the person who proclaims liberation is called not only to care for his own wounds and the wounds of others, and this is the key point right here, but to make his wounds into a major source of healing power. So how does that apply to you today? You know, you think of the things, I mean, we all had lacks. We had things that didn't happen for us. You know, it's easy to blame your parents or teachers or people. We have been wounded. We've been hurt in different ways. And what that's saying is God wants to use that as much as God wants to use your talent. God wants to use your wounds as a source of healing, so that you really can get with somebody who's had that kind of wound before. And it's sort of counterintuitive because you think, oh, that disqualifies me from ministry, but it doesn't. It actually qualifies you for ministry. You have experienced it. You've been there. You know what that darkness is like. You know what that emptiness is like. And when you give your life to Christ in service and God brings another one of those people to you, and there are a lot, you can get right with them because you've been there. And then the last thing he just says, looking to Jesus, the starter and perfecter of our faith.
you know, just think about how hard his life was, and he never gave up, how much he was hurt, how much he was abused, how much he was persecuted. And the reason you think about Jesus, the reason it's important to read your Bible, to go hear preaching, to go hear Bible study, the reason is all that is important is to look at Jesus and not grow weary, that you may not grow weary and lose heart. And that was a problem even back then. This thing was written right around 95 AD. Back then, Christians were still having trouble losing heart. And we had that problem too, that we lose heart because the race is long. And it's not a clean arc all the way. And we don't get the things we want to see. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, and we don't like that. But he says, keep your eyes on Jesus so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you can remove the weights, identify those weights and remove them, the sins, and remove them, and run the race that God has set just for you, because you are so special, and your set of gifts is so special, and God wants to use it. And Commitment Sunday kind of sermon. This is stewardship season. Think of how you can use your gifts in the life of Trinity Church. How can you use your gifts? How can you express your calling to Jesus in this church serving here? There's so many things, so many outlets that you can do. And you have a skill set that is unique. And we need you. The church needs you. And that is where God is calling us to run our race. I'm going to close with a benediction, actually. Do y'all know who Fred Rogers is? Mr. Rogers? He's a Presbyterian minister. Do you know that? He went to where Tanner is, went to Pittsburgh Seminary. And then Mr. Rogers was actually filmed. They had a studio in Pittsburgh that whole time. And I saw this one time. I was doing the commencement address at St. Andrews, and so I looked up a bunch of commencement addresses just to see what they said, and one of them was Mr. Rogers, and he was at someplace like Princeton or something. And here's the way he closed it, and I just want to close this with you guys today. From the time you were very little, you've had people who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, loved you into loving. Let's just take some time to think of those extra special people. Some of them may be right here. Some may be far away. Some may even be in heaven. No matter where they are, deep down you know they've always wanted what was best for you. They've always cared about you beyond measure and have encouraged you to be true to the best in you. I read that at our continuing ed this last time, and Patty Winter started crying. And nothing could really be more true than this about her. This was her. She had loved so many people into loving. Smile so many people into smiling. Talk so many people into talking. And I'm of that age where I still do Facebook. And I was looking through all the things that people said about her. And it was so wonderful. And I put one little line in there. And it said, I've got to do better. With Patty gone, I got to do better. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to run our race, the race you've called us to. Help us to run with perseverance. Help us to lay aside the weights and sins and keep our eyes on Jesus. Give us humility, O Lord, to be patient with ourselves when we take a step backwards. Help us, O God, to be your servants for many, many, many years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.